Part 2. Chapter 6. The Flying Coffin. As Japanese planes dove over Oahu, more than 2,000 miles to the west, a few Marines were sitting in a mess tent on Wake Atoll, having breakfast. Extremely small, lacking its own water supply, Wake would have been a useless atoll but for one enormous attribute. It lay far out in the Pacific, making it a strategically ideal spot for an airbase. And so it was home to one runway and about 500 bored American servicemen, mostly Marines. Aside from the occasional refueling stopovers of Pan American World Airways planes, nothing interesting ever happened there. But that December morning, just as the Marines were starting on their pancakes, an air raid siren began wailing. By noon, the sky was streaked with Japanese bombers, buildings were exploding, and a few startled men on less than 3 square miles of coral found themselves on the front in the Second World War. All over the Pacific that morning, the story was the same. In less than 2 hours over Pearl Harbor, Japan badly wounded the American Navy and killed more than 2,400 people. Almost simultaneously, it attacked Thailand, Shanghai, Malaya, the Philippines, Guam, Midway, and Wake. In one day of breathtaking violence, a new Japanese onslaught had begun. In America, invasion was expected at any moment. Less than an hour after the Japanese bombed Hawaii, mines were being laid in San Francisco Bay. In Washington, Civil Defense Minister Fiorello LaGuardia looped around the city in a police car, sirens blaring, shouting the word "calm" into a loudspeaker. At the White House, Eleanor Roosevelt dashed off a letter to her daughter, Anna, urging her to get her children off the West Coast. A butler overheard the president speculating on what he'd do if Japanese forces advanced as far as Chicago. Meanwhile, just up Massachusetts Avenue, smoke billowed from the grounds of the Japanese embassy, where Jimmy Sasaki worked. Staffers were burning documents in the embassy yard. On the sidewalk, a crowd watched in silence. On the night of December 7th to 8th, there were 4 air raid alerts in San Francisco. At Shepherd Field Air Corps School in Texas, spooked officers ran through the barracks at 4 a.m., screaming that Japanese planes were coming and ordering the cadets to sprint outside and throw themselves on the ground. In coming days, trenches were dug along the California coast, and schools in Oakland were closed. From New Jersey to Alaska, reservoirs, bridges, tunnels, factories, and waterfronts were put under guard. In Kearney, Nebraska, citizens were instructed on disabling incendiary bombs with garden hoses. Blackout curtains were hung in windows across America, from solitary farmhouses to the White House. Shocking rumors circulated. Kansas City was about to be attacked. San Francisco was being bombed. The Japanese had captured the Panama Canal. Japan galloped over the globe. On December 10th, it invaded the Philippines and seized Guam. The next day, it invaded Burma. A few days later, British Borneo. Hong Kong fell on Christmas. North Borneo, Rabaul, Manila, and the U.S. base in the Philippines fell in January. The British were driven from Malaya and into surrender in Singapore in 70 days. There was one snag. Wake, surely expected to be an easy conquest, wouldn't give in. For 3 days, the Japanese bombed and strafed the atoll. On December 11th, a vast force, including 11 destroyers and light cruisers, launched an invasion attempt. The little group of defenders shoved them back, sinking 2 destroyers and damaging 9 other ships, shooting down 2 bombers and forcing the Japanese to abort, their first loss of the war. It wasn't until December 23rd that the Japanese finally seized Wake and captured the men on it. To the Americans' 52 military deaths, an estimated 1,153 Japanese had been killed. For several days, the captives were held on the airfield, shivering by night, sweltering by day, singing Christmas carols to cheer themselves. They were initially slated for execution, but after a Japanese officer's intervention, most were crowded into the holds of ships and sent to Japan and occupied China as some of the first Americans to become POWs under the Japanese. Unbeknownst to America, 98 captives were kept on Wake. The Japanese were going to enslave them.